May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's a place in Gulf Shores that have this little zoo. And my grandkids love to go to that little zoo. It's not always my favorite thing to take my grandkids to that little zoo, but they like to go. And so they have all these kind of animals. And when you walk through the little lobby, this little store you go in, you buy your tickets and stuff. They have these things that I remember growing up with. And there are those fake snakes. You ever seen those? And if you put them in water, it kind of grows really big. I don't know what it's made out of, but it's really kind of, kids love that. It's really cool. And so you have the snake, and the potential's there for this thing to grow, but the missing ingredient's water. If you don't put it in water, it's not going to happen. And it reminds me a lot of 2 Corinthians 12. I talk about verses that are life verses to me, that 2 Chronicles 16 is certainly one of them, but at the core, foundationally, this is a scripture and one other that God used to change my life and kind of has identified my life all these years since I've been walking with the Lord. And what we've been sort of talking about this week are the necessary things on our part to position ourselves so that the power of God can flow. Now, we understand this, again, from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and the God of limitless power has abounded all grace. And the power of God is just one of the graces. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency, and that includes the power of God, in everything may abound to every good work. And we do cry out for God's power. We pray for God's power. But we often cry out for God's power with the attitude, I want something that I don't have, so please give it to me. Well, that just can't be. God's given you everything. And so just so you understand what you're praying for when you pray for things like that, because we, again, pray for many things in a Christian life that we already have. We have every spiritual blessing already. What we're actually praying for is, God, do whatever you got to do in me so that I can receive, experience, enter into that grace that I already have. And so we've particularly been talking about the power of God. Again, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for anyone whose heart is completely his, whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong. That's God's power on their behalf. He's not looking for people who show themselves strong for him. And yet that's what most Christians seem to think commitment is and consecration. God, I'll be strong for you. I promise I'll do better. But Christian life is God being strong on our behalf, showing himself strong. Wouldn't it change your life instead of you trying to stand up for Jesus and being strong for Jesus in all those situations and circumstances and relationships and responsibilities that you find yourself in today, if God were to show up strong in that situation? Well, that's how he's called us to live. But there are certain requirements. One of them is a heart that's completely his. We've talked about that, just a surrendered heart. As far as we know, fully giving him everything that we are, having owned all of our junk, and giving him junk and all, the weakness and all, so that he can do what he wants to do. Well, following up on that, the Apostle Paul has a situation in his life where he's experiencing some infirmity. And the process of it, and it's a very difficult one, and it's just there all the time. It doesn't seem to go away. A lot of people try to explain what that infirmity is. I don't know whether they're right or wrong. All I know is that the Holy Spirit doesn't choose to tell us what it is. He just uses a term called weakness. And that can include physical weakness or spiritual weakness or emotional weakness or any kind of where the idea is frailty or a place where you feel vulnerable or weak. And I think he doesn't tell us what it is, because knowing us, if we knew what it was, we'd go, oh yeah, well, that's easy for him to say. He doesn't know my stuff and what I'm going through. We always are looking for excuses to not walk in victory. And so Paul begs the Lord, Paul pleads with the Lord three times that this thing would go away from him. Because that, to him, life would be good. We could do what we're called to do. I could live my life and be more effective for the kingdom if you just take this away. And the Lord didn't do that. Instead, the Lord says this to him from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Now, this is important to me because all those many years ago, decades now, when I gave my life to the Lord with mental illness and with clinical depression, clinical anxiety, and all the fears, and all the stuff I was dealing with, the terror, and the horrible emotions, and whatever chemical imbalances there were as a result of it, all that, I begged God, please take this away from me. Because you see, I'd discovered, again, from some people who really impacted my life, that God offered a life in Christ that was victorious. And that was His will for every single believer. And that He had come that I might have life. He says that you, which is a plural, that you, so all of us, not just would die, go to heaven one day, not just would have sins forgiven, but He came that we, each one of us, might have life and have it more abundantly. I thought, well, that's not what I was experiencing. I loved Him. I was forgiven. I wanted to live for Him, but I was just controlled by my brokenness. And so I was begging Him, you'll just take that away. I get it now. What I'm living is not normal. You want me to live a victorious life. You want me to live free from the power of sin. You want me to live an anointed life. You want me to live a life full of joy unspeakable, full of glory. You want me to experience a peace that passes understanding. You want me to walk in unconditional love and forgiveness towards others. That sounds wonderful, but if you'll just take away all these fears and all this depression and all this brokenness and all this weakness, then I can live that life. But these things are in the way. What I didn't know is they were actually the ingredient that causes the power of God to freely and fully function. Just like that play snake thing, that fake snake, the ingredient is there, but you got to put it in water. And so He said this in 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And He said to me, now I'm going to just say this to you the way the grammar's written without me going through all the details. All righty? This is the way Paul heard it. And you know what the Lord did? He said to me one time, and I heard it completely. And He said this amazing statement, and every day it still affects everything I do in life. It still rings true. And this is what He said to me. Right now, Paul, grace is being sufficient for you. And the word sufficient here means enough. Your issue isn't the weakness. Your issue is you need to appropriate grace. Because grace is what you need. Because grace is sufficient. Grace is contenting. Grace is enough. And it's happening right now. It's inside of you right now. Grace is being, not could be, not might be, not should be. Oh, I hope it is. Grace is sufficient, is enough for you right now. He said, for power, supernatural power, is right now being perfected, being completed, finds its missing ingredients in your weakness. That's an amazing statement. I've said this over the years when people around me, when I was first growing in the Lord, they just seemed to have their act together so well until I got to know them better. And they were in a bigger mess than I was. I just hadn't learned how to fake it yet, like most Christians do. But if the Lord had walked into a room and said, you know, do you pray 10 hours? Were you raised in a godly family? Were you this, that, and the other? You qualify to live a victorious life and experience the power of God. How would it just be like? My dad was an alcoholic. I'm a mess. I did a bunch of drugs. I'm a mentally ill person. But if somebody would walk in the room and said, look, here's the deal. If you're frail and you're weak and you don't have your act together, you qualify to experience the power of God in your life, because that's the missing ingredient. I would be like, yes, sir. I don't have to go to class. I don't have to go to any training class. I don't have to be taught that. I qualify today. This is what he says. For God's power right now, not hoping, not in the future, it's not a wish, right now is perfected. Weaknesses don't drive God away. A surrendered life that's full of weakness and a tendency towards failure, that's the very missing ingredient. I was talking to somebody this morning. I said, you know the thing about baking, which you know a lot more than I do, some of you, it won't rise unless you put baking soda in there. And that's exactly what that word means, that word perfected, or it means there's a missing ingredient, that grace, God's power, it needs a weakness to attach itself to. And then it rises. Then like that snake, it grows. Then it's released. Isn't that encouraging to you? Your weaknesses and your failures surrendered to him, that's what he's looking for. He's not waiting for you to get your act together and then surrender it to him so that God's power can move. You call it what it is, sin and failure and blown in, and then you just give it to him. And God said, wow, power's working, but it needed the missing ingredient. It's just attracted to your weakness. Like all those things to bake a cake is drawn to baking soda, or it won't rise. And that's why he says, therefore, I most gladly boast about my weakness. But the word about isn't there. It's the word, therefore, in my weakness. All these weaknesses, I know what's in me. I boast in my weakness that the power of God may pitch its tent on me. And I walk around, and I'm just covered by the power of God. You can't even see the weak mess that I normally am, because I'm just walking around with this pitched tent of God's supernatural power working in my life. Isn't that crazy? It changed my life when I heard that 30-something years ago. Changes my life every day. So I don't know what you're going to go back to when you leave this place, but I can tell you this. Grace is working in you right now. Sufficiency. The sufficiency of His grace is working right now because power isn't pushed away by your need. It's drawn to it. It's the missing ingredient. He's hungry. It's hungry for weakness. So that God can demonstrate. For again, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, frail clay pots, so that the power of God can be manifest. We have this treasure earthen vessel so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God may be of him and not us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.